Heavenly Father, we come to you and lay our burdens at the cross. We know that also in the cross there is acceptance, redemption, and radical inclusion of all things. Father, we pray that you would show us your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Today's verses, today's scripture readings are powerful and disturbing, and it's important that we wrestle. One of the things I try to tell people always is that when scripture becomes difficult or challenging, instead of wiping it away or running away from it, to charge at it, to engage it, to pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten the words you're reading, to read those who have come before you and figure out what they have gotten from it. Today we begin with the letter, the reading from Isaiah, where the prophet tells the people of Israel something they do not want to hear. That people who are ritually unclean and people who possibly have been part of their oppressors are welcome into the family of God. The eunuchs and the foreigners. Now, eunuch is a tough one. But eunuchs were especially established to be trustworthy servants for people who had money to guard or who had property to oversee or who had many who had a harem, and they were in charge of those things. And the eunuch usually would be employed by and also have had the surgery done by people who were not part of Israel, part of the root of Israel, part of the family of the chosen one. They weren't Jewish. And so when a eunuch would come to want to be part of the family of the one God, to believe in the one God, There is actually a statute in the Old Testament that says specifically their physical attributes preclude them, do not allow them into the temple. They can't come under the door. And I believe it's in Deuteronomy. And so they're not allowed. But here Isaiah is saying they want to have faith in God. They have faith in God. They're welcome. And the foreigner whom God had been telling the Jews for a very long time, stay away from the foreigners, do not water down your bloodline, stay away from those people. Now God is telling them that is over with, and if they want to come to me and worship me as the one God, there's a place for them. Now even in this system established in Isaiah, there's a separation, because when the temple was built in Jerusalem, you could go in. There was, of course, women and men are separated immediately, which is not good. If you go there today, if you go to the Wailing Wall today, the women are on one side divided by a wall. There's guys on the other side. The women have a smaller area. The women have men have a great big area. The men have like lounge chairs. No, they don't have it. But it's separated. And if you walk into the temple, there are different rooms and levels as you go in. There's a level for those who are exploring, who have expressed an interest in the one God, and they would go into there, and they would be there, and then there would be the ones who were converts, but they weren't full converts because they weren't ethnic Jewish, and so they would go into the outer chambers, and then there was a place for the women to go, and then there was the inner chamber for the real Jewish people, the men, the dudes, and they would go in there, and so there's still separation. But here Isaiah is telling the people of God that there is a place for people who are not part of the chosen people to become part of the saved of God. And before that, though, they were persecuted. They were treated badly. There are some very profound Hebrew words for people who are not Jewish. You're going to hear one later. I have not known a lot of persecution in my life. Not known a lot. And if I have known persecution, then I was just, it just went over my head. I was just clueless to it. I have been the only 6'2" white guy in an entire country of 5'4" brown people. I have been in a place where I should be persecuted, and yet I was taken care of. Kind things were said to me. Food was brought to me where there wasn't a lot of food. I have been cared for by people of other backgrounds. I've rarely been in an angry situation with anyone like that. When I first came to South Carolina, we moved here in 1971, moved to Sumter. My dad was in the Air Force, and we moved to Shaw. That summer, we went to Santee State Park. I believe it was the summer of 1971. And as we drove in, there was a small sign, and I'm not sure whether it said colored beach or white beach, but it said one of those things. And we course, went to the one where the white people were. And I remember my parents commenting on it. I was kind of oblivious. And then we went in, and we got there, and we all got out of the car. We got our chairs. We walked towards the swimming area, and we were stopped by a park ranger in a uniform, a boy who from that area who was very concerned because I had what looked like cut-off jeans. This is not racial profiling I'm talking about here. So he stopped my whole family and said, your son can't come in here because he has cut-off jeans on and not allowed. Here's a sign right here, no cut-off jeans. And of course, when my parents spoke to him, they did not have a Southern accent, although my father was mostly from the South. He was born in Massachusetts, and he still says sandwich, dinosaur, and all kinds of other weird Yankee words. And so he said, these are real swimsuits. My mother had purchased purple cut-off jean-looking real swimsuits for me because she was stylish. So I was wearing real swimsuit with a lining, but it were kind of. So he said, no, he can't come in. And my dad argued. It was a good one. And he even came over to me and pulled down my pants. And he pulled out the lining. These are swimsuits. And the guy said, no, you can't come in. All right. That's not persecution. I think probably once they heard my parents' lack of a Southern accent, there were more. He was like, no, y'all get coming in here. So that might have been persecution. But it was white on white crime at that point. So we left. And I've always remembered that. What if my life had depended on being in that water that day? My parents would have fought harder. My parents would have said anything. If my life depended on me having to go in that water today, which it didn't, what would my parents have done? They would have risked all kinds of persecution to get me in that water. Here we have in this gospel story an amazing moment like that, where a woman in this gospel who is called a Canaanite, which is like calling somebody from anywhere else than the South a Yankee. Canaanite, hadn't been Canaanites in the area for 1,000 years. They were the original conquering group that came in and took over the Jews, and they had been oppressors of the Jews for a long time, and there was a deep ethnic hatred for people who were in this area of Tyre and Sidon and were not even sure why Jesus was there. But he was there, and this woman came up, and she had heard about Jesus and his healing powers. She had heard about his miracles. She probably had heard about his feeding the 5,000. She had heard about these things, and she knew that the people hated her, and her people hated the Jews, but she was going to find some way to get her daughter healed. This daughter who was exhibiting these tremendously painful symptoms, mental illness, physical illness, and nothing was helping this child. She was in a place of desperation. What would you do as the mother of a child to save your child's life? She went all the way and risked everything and ran to Jesus. Now, Jesus says some very hard things here, but he does this, I believe, for our benefit. He is surrounded by his disciples and probably some other people. They've all gone to Tyre and Sidon, these places, which were not a Jewish enclave. And the disciples were all listening to him. And they had the prejudices and they had the difficulty with people. And this woman came in and she started to yell, Son of David! Son of David! So she knew the Psalms. She'd read the Psalms. She knew about the messianic prophecy of the Son of David being the Messiah. The King of Israel was walking through her neighborhood and she knew it. So she was already on board with that, and she walks in, and of course the disciples say, this is lady yelling at you, let's just get rid of her. She's bugging us. She's one of those people. And the woman pushes her way to the place where Jesus is, gets in front of him and kneels in front of him, blocks his way, and says, my daughter is possessed by a demon, and you're the only one who can help me. And Jesus says something which is so hard. He said, I don't give the kids food to dogs. And dog means dog. And in Hebrew, a dog is a huge insult. And when you go to Jerusalem, you will not hear a dog because dogs are unclean. They eat garbage. I saw one dog in Jerusalem. I saw 5 horses. One dog. It was a terrible thing. I mean, go to someone in need. Walk down to Tri-County Family Ministries and say, hey, I'd like a meal. And they look at you and say, no, sorry, dog. You know how you're going to feel. And this woman argues with Jesus and wins. And she says, even the dogs get crumbs from the master's table. I just want a crumb. I don't need you to stop your world and do a giant miracle. I don't need you to feed 5,000. Just give me a tiny bit of what you have, and I know my daughter will be saved. At that moment, Jesus' real intent shows through. Your faith is strong, woman. He breaks through that barrier, that cultural barrier. He breaks through the barrier between men and women. Men don't talk to women who are by themselves. Not right. It's not kosher. Men don't stop when people yell at them and answer their questions. They move on in their business. He stopped. He broke through all the barriers and he said to you, you have strong faith. And what you want is done. And then they walk on. Because of the faith of this woman in him, in Jesus, all of the barriers that separate people, the same barriers that Jesus knew Isaiah had called out against, were broken down. Now, Jesus had even said, listen, I'm here to save the Jews from Jerusalem. I'm not really here for anybody else, because the Bible says he's going to save us all out of Jerusalem. He even says, I'm not here for these pagans. But the faith of this woman has broken through the barriers, and Jesus was able to shine. And it is faith in God which breaks down our barriers. It is faith in Jesus that he is who he says he is, which makes all of these divisions between humanity, people and people, go away. In all of these stupid Facebook things I've been looking at, and God forgive me, I have not seen anyone say, we got to pray for these Nazis. We got to pray for these Klansmen. Because they are so far from Jesus. They're going to have no life after they die. We've got to pray for these people who are on the side of justice and freedom. Because they are on the side of justice and freedom, many of them, not because God has called them into this ministry, but because they feel that it's right. And once people are happy and nice to each other, they're going to be fine. And they're still going to go on diminishing other people in their eyes. The real healing, the real answer to this struggle that we're going through right now is a faith in Jesus Christ. And it sounds like, well, it's your job, Dave. Well, to go, well done. No, no, no. If we're not out there on the front lines of these things, praying for healing, reconciliation, and grace, which is what God calls us to, we will continue to be the victims of these violent clashes. If we don't work on asking the Holy Spirit to change the hearts of these people who are driven by their causes into violence, we have no hope. Because our only hope is in Jesus Christ, not in a righteous cause, not in our heritage, not in our agenda, not in what makes us feel comfortable all the time, but in Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ, we are all humbled. We are all brought to the same level. There was no one greater than anyone else. And we are reminded when Jesus said to the rich Pharisee, when you come into the house, you should sit at the lowest part of the table and not the first part of the table. You should lower yourself. You should serve to give. You should die to live. You should forgive and love those who hate you. That is our standard as Christians. And so if you feel yourself, as I have, getting caught up in the vigorous aggression that the newspaper and the Facebook and all these people are, you know that the devil has found the chink in your armor and he is twisting it in his little knife. And so you pray to God and say, get behind me, Satan. And you pray for those Nazis and you pray for those Klansmen and you pray for those people who would use violence on the other side as well. And you pray that God would level the playing field. And then you pray that God would take away your bigotry and prejudice, as he did in that moment with that very important lesson to the disciples, who were all excited about Jesus saying, get that dog out of here. But then they were flipped on their other side when they heard him say, "Your faith has earned the healing of God." It is our faith that will punch through this devastation in our country. It is our faith in God that will heal the wounded. It is our faith in God that will bring us into a place of peacemaking and grace. Not in some kind of strange hippie kind of way, but in a powerful, powerful, spirit-driven, Christ-centered way. And you are the army of God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, in all of your wisdom, you have made us to love us. In all of your grace, you have given us mechanism to be saved from our own brokenness. In all of your blessing and mercy, you pull us out of the depth, and there is no place we can hide from you. Give us your grace, strength, and courage, and wisdom, Lord God, to be an instrument of your peace, to be a hand and a mouth and a heart for reconciliation, and to know that our only answer is not in causes, it's not in signs, it is only in your love and our love for you and our faith in you that will bring this world to a place of righteousness and blessing and racial reconciliation. But more so, Lord God, we pray that we will be reconciled to you through Jesus Christ, forgiven of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and made one body that we may love and serve you with singleness of heart. In Jesus' name, amen.